Chapter 2. Owning Your Career. The single best career advice for any software engineer is, own your career. Why? Because nobody cares about your career as much as you do. This is a lesson I've learned which really hit home when I became a manager and tried to help people grow professionally, reach their goals, and achieve their ambitions. In this chapter, we explore the topic of owning your career. 1. You're in charge of your career. 2. Being seen as someone who gets things done. 3. Keep a work log. 4. Ask for feedback. 5. Make your manager an ally. And 6. Pace yourself. 1. You're in charge of your career. I've had several managers during my career. Some cared about my aspirations, and others didn't. Some promoted me after only a few months, while others provided little to no feedback on how to grow, even after we'd worked together for more than a year. When I first became a manager, I vowed to be a great manager and to care about the careers of all my direct reports. I sat down with them, discussed their career goals, and tried hard to make them a reality. However, I noticed some things. Many software engineers had never had a career conversation with a manager before, and I was the first to ask about their goals. Not only their goals in our workplace, but where they wanted to get to when they inevitably left the company. Some people were easier to help than others. I had better conversations with those who knew what they wanted than colleagues who'd not figured this out or didn't want to think about it. I wanted to help everyone, but as a manager, my time was limited. I could spend a little time with everyone, but had many other matters to focus on. Eventually, I had to admit that even though I wanted to help every report's career, I was not the best person to do this. The best person was the individual themselves. As proved, when people performed better by taking the initiative, setting goals, tracking them, and continuously improving. This didn't happen to people who put in little to no effort or waited for me to set goals and nudge them to work towards them. All those colleagues had a manager who genuinely cared about their professional development, but many people have managers without the bandwidth or motivation to grow their careers. Take ownership of your career path if you want to be successful. Don't hang around waiting for a manager to step in. Even if you get lucky with a great manager, they have a dozen other people to think about and will be able to dedicate only a fraction of the attention to your career that you can. There are plenty of ways to own your career, such as telling your manager and peers what you care about, sharing work that you do which they might not notice otherwise, and creating opportunities for people to give you feedback. 2. Be seen as someone who gets things done. When I talk with engineers who want to better their careers, they often ask how they can make better cases for promotion or improve at office politics. Both of these have their place, but if you're not seen as someone who gets stuff done, then nothing else will matter. Get stuff done. Finish the work you're assigned and deliver it with high enough quality and at a decent pace. Over-deliver when you can, shipping more and better than expected. For most engineers, shipping means shipping code in production which works and launching features, services, and components. Get plenty of impactful things done. There's a big difference between getting meaningless stuff done, such as shipping small refactoring tasks, which make no real difference to customers and fellow developers, and getting impactful things done, which make a difference to the business and your team. Be the person who gets lots of impactful things done. Where to start with this? It's just a matter of understanding your team's priorities and the businesses. So find out. Make sure people know you get stuff done. A common mistake software engineers make is to assume everyone around them, their team, manager, product manager, and colleagues on other teams, will know when they ship a feature or complete a complex project. This isn't the case. You need to tell your manager and team when you get things done. If what you do is impactful, measure the business impact and share it. Share when the work is unusually complex or involves heroic effort. Otherwise, many people won't know the challenges you faced and overcame. Finish the work you commit to, focus on important tasks, and let others know when you get things done. Then your work won't go unnoticed. 3. Keep a work log. What did you work on this week? And last week? What about 10 months ago? If you're like most software engineers, it's easy to recall recent work. But further back in the past, the details can be fuzzy, which isn't a problem until it is. For example, it can be an issue at the end of the year when you summarize your contribution, which influences the performance review or promotion prospects. Or when your manager is preparing performance reviews and asks you to summarize what you've been doing all year. If you have no notes, you'll miss important work due to overlooking it or waste time tracking down the details of previous projects. Instead, record key work each week, including important code changes, code reviews, design documents, discussions and planning, helping out others, postmortems, and anything else which takes time and has an impact. Former Stripe software engineer Julia Evans calls this a brag document. This document has so many benefits, not just for performance reviews, but also for yourself by capturing just how much you do. To see an example template, please visit engguidebook.com/audiobook. Some of the most productive engineers I've worked with keep a work log in some form. It helps in several ways. Priorities. The more productive an engineer is perceived as being, the more that people approach them with requests. Engineers who list the work they do, or need to do, have an easier time knowing their top priorities than colleagues with no such document. Feeling good about stopping work at the end of the day. At larger tech companies, it's not uncommon to start the morning wanting to get a pull request in, but this still isn't done by evening time because other tasks came up. Recording what you do puts the day into perspective. Saying no. When there's too much on your to-do list and something new comes in, you need to either reject it or remove something from your log to make room for the new task. Engineers who know everything on their list can easily turn down new work or negotiate which tasks to stop. Performance reviews, promotions, and quantifying impact. When performance reviews come around, writing a self-review is one of the best ways to ensure fair feedback. This takes less time with a work log, and the same applies to software engineering promotions. Is keeping a work log weird? When I first started to write this document, it felt almost silly. And when I suggested it to people as a manager, many were reluctant. Some engineers felt it would be just stating the obvious, and why record work that's done and dusted? Others believed it would be a form of bragging, which felt wrong. And for some other engineers, it just didn't feel like a priority, and that updating a log would be a distraction from real work. For me, starting a work log was a bit similar to giving meditation a go, and I'd heard people say meditation works when you do it regularly. What finally pushed me to meditate was a friend telling me, "I know it sounds stupid to listen to a recording for 10 minutes a day, and I thought the same, but just do it for 2 weeks, and you'll see what I mean." I did, and a fortnight later, I understood what my friend meant. The same is true for writing a work log, brag doc. It may sound silly, and it does take time, but just do it for 2 months. Every week, write down the work you do. Show this doc to your manager in a one-on-one every few weeks. At the end of 2 months, you'll understand why it's useful. I've yet to hear someone regret doing it after resolving to stick with it. 4. Ask and give feedback. One of the best ways to grow as a professional is via feedback from colleagues. What do they think you're doing well, and where can you improve? Ask for feedback. As a software engineer, there are plenty of easy ways to get feedback, and you might already be utilizing some. Code reviews. A great way to get another pair of eyes on your code changes, spot issues, spread knowledge, and receive feedback on your work. Ideas and suggestions. Share proposals or ideas for projects with teammates and ask for thoughts and feedback. Design documents. If your team or company utilizes these documents, you can get feedback on project implementation proposals. Peer performance reviews. Your company may run a more formal performance review process. If so, people may be asked to share feedback about their peers, what they do well and how they could improve. This is valuable feedback you might not otherwise get. You can also be proactive in seeking feedback from colleagues such as teammates, your manager, your product manager, or others with whom you work. My suggestion is to avoid asking for personal feedback. Instead, ask for feedback about something specific you did or worked on. For example, could you help give feedback on my coding approach based on my last few pull requests? Are there areas you think I could change in my approach or where I'm not following unwritten coding guidance? How do you think this architecture planning meeting went, which I facilitated? What did you like about it, and do you have suggestions on how it could have been more productive? The outage last night, which I commandeered. How do you think I did? This was the first outage I took charge of. What could I change next time to mitigate things more effectively? Feedback is a gift because it's always much easier to simply not give it, especially if it would be unflattering. So if someone shares constructive feedback with you, remember, it would have been easier for them to say nothing. Keep this in mind if your instinct is to react defensively. It's a fact most people don't give feedback when it's not sought, so you'll have to seek feedback by asking questions about specific situations. In my experience, asking for feedback is especially helpful when doing something for the first time or when still figuring things out in a new group or environment. Reflecting on work is another great way to grow and learn, and feedback helps you do precisely this. Give feedback to others. Giving feedback contributes to colleagues' growth. But how do you do this when it's always easier and more convenient to stay quiet? Here are approaches I've consistently seen work well. Call out good work. When you see someone do solid work, tell them. Say what you liked about it, which can be as simple as adding a positive comment to a code review, saying the refactor you've reviewed is a neat approach, or tell the person directly that the latest feature they pushed out is polished. Be specific. Tell people what you liked. Good job or well done is not really helpful feedback, so be clear about what you liked and why. Only give positive feedback when you mean it. Don't tell people you like something or that they did a good job if you didn't mean it. Fake compliments don't help anyone. Giving critical feedback is harder. As an engineer, you don't want to come across as attacking someone, which is how negative feedback can appear. There are a few ways to minimize the risk of a misunderstanding. Focus your observation on a situation and its impact. For example, say you want to give feedback after a colleague pushed a bug to production, which could have been avoided with more thorough testing. Describe the situation, that you observed a bug in production and the impact it had. Then ask the colleague for their opinion of this situation and for ways to reduce the likelihood of it happening again. Avoid saying, "You should do this." Unless you're the person's manager, avoid making it sound like you're giving them instructions. Instead, help them come up with solutions. You can suggest what you would have done differently in the situation. Give negative, constructive feedback in person. It's easier for someone to misunderstand your intent if you provide feedback over email or chat. Talk with them in person or via video so you can see their reaction. Make it clear from the start you're on their side. Most people have the fight-or-flight response to negative feedback. Ease this by making it very clear you want this person to become an even better professional, and that it would be easier for you to stay silent and not say anything, but your goal is to help them get better. Ask them to hear you out first, and keep in mind you are sharing feedback because you believe it will benefit them. Make it clear it's just your observation, which they can ignore if they wish. I like to give constructive feedback to a peer by stating the power dynamics. Tell them you are not their manager, just a peer, and that your observation doesn't mean they need to change anything. In the end, this is just your feedback, which they are free to ignore if they think it's invalid. End the discussion positively. The goal of giving any feedback is to help the other person and the team. Don't forget, it's unlikely to help the team if you and the person who receives your feedback are on worse terms after the conversation. So try to end the discussion in a mutually satisfying way. This could mean by closing with honest, positive feedback, or just thanking them for being so open in listening to you. Decode poorly delivered feedback. Giving feedback constructively is an art that takes practice. This means most engineers are not very good at it. Heck, even some managers should practice more. It's almost certain you will receive poorly delivered feedback, even when the person's intentions are clear. Here's how to get something useful out of it. Insist on specific examples of what the feedback applies to. Most low-quality feedback is such because it's vague. For example, your manager might say, "I think your code quality could use some improvement." In response, ask questions like, "Could you give me a specific example? Could we look at specific pull requests?" Clarify the impact. Often, it will be unclear why the feedback is important. For example, a teammate might say, "I don't think you should have made that refactor." To this, ask what impact it had on them and others in the team. Ask for suggestions. Much badly delivered feedback makes no suggestions about what behavior to change or do instead. If a teammate says you didn't deploy to production carefully enough and caused a bug as a result, ask, "How could I deploy more carefully? How would you go about this? And which steps would you take?" If you disagree, explain why this is the case. While it's helpful to consider all feedback, you do not need to agree with it. If you disagree, explain why this is. The person delivering the feedback might be missing context, and your explanation could help provide them with that missing piece of information. Feedback is a gift, both when given and received. Poorly delivered feedback is also a gift, but some work is needed to turn it into something useful you can act on. 5. Make your manager an ally. Your manager is the colleague who has the single biggest impact on your career within a company. It's your most significant workplace relationship. A manager who believes in you, advocates for you, and supports you in your career goals makes a huge difference, especially compared to one who's unaware of much of your work, doesn't know your professional goals, and provides no feedback. You cannot control all aspects of your relationship with your manager, but there are plenty of ways to improve and optimize it, and hopefully create an allyship where you mutually support each other. How do you make it great? Have regular one-on-one time with your manager. Use this to catch them up with work you've been doing and to share your work log of wins and challenges. Discuss your professional goals and ask about their challenges and how you could help them and the team. Tell them. Don't assume they know. Many software engineers assume their manager must know the work they do, but this isn't the case. Your manager has a lot on their plate and won't review every pull request you do, and especially won't know that you spent half a day helping a colleague debug an issue. So tell them. This is why regular one-on-ones matter. Understand your manager's goals. A little empathy goes a long way, so get a sense of what's important for them in the context of the team. The easiest way is to ask about the biggest upcoming challenges of the next month and half year. There might be opportunities to help. For example, if your manager shares that the biggest thing on their mind is that the team recently had several high-priority outages, then you could greatly help by taking the initiative to improve reliability. Deliver what you agree on and give updates when you cannot. There will be plenty of times when you agree to do something by a certain date, like putting a plan together for a migration and distributing it to the team. Make a point to do this by the agreed date and let your manager know when it's done or notify them upfront if it will be late. Managers get a sense of who's reliable on their team, who doesn't need chasing up on commitments, and who does. Aim to be in the reliable group. For this, it can be better to not make commitments you're unsure you can deliver. Establish mutual trust with your manager. Many things are easier when you and your manager trust each other. However, trust is not given. It's earned over time. When you start with a new manager, aim to be open, honest, and transparent with them. Hopefully, this will be mutual. If so, you should get comfortable with telling them the unvarnished truth, without fear of being judged. Get your work recognized. As an engineering manager, my goal was always to recognize the work people on my team did. After all, this was a win for us both. It brought the engineer well-earned recognition and made my team look good. It also indirectly helped my career as a manager, because when everyone on my team did well, my chance of a good performance review or promotion significantly improved. Some team members made it easier for me to know about their work, recognize it, and give honest feedback on how to improve. This is how they did it. Came prepared to our one-on-one meeting and ensured I knew what they'd done, the challenges they'd solved, and where they needed help or feedback. Completed agreed work related to their career. For example, if we agreed that they'd come back in 2 weeks with goals they'd like to achieve, they prioritized this work. Were clear about their professional goals by stating what they wanted to achieve. Were interested in team challenges and those I faced as a manager, and considered solutions that also benefited their career goals. Asked for specific feedback on their work. For example, asking me to share one positive and an improvement area in how they ran a project, or how they could improve a design document, or seeking feedback on a lengthy code review, including whether I thought their approach was helpful or overbearing. Kept a log of their work in some form, which they shared with me. This was invaluable when I prepared for performance reviews and promotion discussions. Asked for help when they were stuck on something, and understood how I or my network could help them get unstuck. In short, these engineers made it simple for me to help them as their manager. 6. Pace yourself. Athletes pace themselves to optimize for peak performance and for the longevity of their careers. What about software engineers, for whom the average career lasts much longer than an athlete's, up to 40 years? Burnout is a high risk for software developers, like career-threatening injury is for athletes. Are there lessons we can take from sports for having a good career and keeping pace with the pack without burning out? I've found the stretching, executing, and coasting model useful for pacing yourself as a software professional. Factors like the environment, the project, motivation, externals, and more determine pace. Stretching. Stretching yourself is the most fun, at least initially. This is when you're learning new things fast and applying them as you go. It involves fresh challenges which require you to step up. As a manager, I actively looked for opportunities to stretch people, get them out of their comfort zones, and accelerate their learning. Starting at a new company and getting up to speed is always a stretch. Joining a project that uses a different language or technology than you're used to is a good challenge. Taking the lead on a type of project you've not led before is too. So is working on a project with a tight deadline that forces quick, pragmatic decisions. While stretching helps you grow faster, being in stretch mode for too long can backfire if it slows you down over time or even causes burnout. If doing stretch work comes with overtime, then you'll become physically and mentally exhausted. If being stretched means falling behind in parts of your work, then this can cause anxiety. Without a way to relax and get back to normal, mental and physical exhaustion and stress can cause burnout. Even if it doesn't trigger burnout, over time, your motivation and output may drop. The coaches of athletes notice when they're overstretching themselves by observing movement, times, and other outputs. As a software engineer, look to people in your life who can tell if you're pushing too hard, like colleagues, friends, family, or others who give honest feedback. Executing. This is the normal way of working and involves using your skills and experience to get things done well. You pull your weight, and sometimes go beyond the call of duty, in ways which don't overstretch you. You keep learning new things at a normal, not accelerated, pace. An excellent way to execute is coding in a language or framework you're an expert in on a project with reasonable timelines. You get your work done and help others without the need for overtime. In general, familiar work with few surprises is when executing is pretty straightforward. After a period of stretching, it's common to sidestep the risk of burnout by scaling back to heads-down execution. I've seen people who are stretched make a list of additional things they're doing, which add up to too much. So they find colleagues to take over work or start saying no to some tasks. They ask for support and let their manager know they intend to stop or hand over a piece of work in order to keep executing well and not burn out. Coasting. This means doing less and lower quality work than you're capable of. Coasting might be a temporary, short-term breather after a tough project, catching up on other things, or taking a mental break. Coasting can be a result of personal circumstances that distract you from work, or a symptom of low motivation. People who coast are rarely proactive and often need nudging on day-to-day tasks. Coasting for more than a few days is counterproductive for everyone. It's not good for the coaster, their project, or team. Teammates notice when someone has checked out and will assume they can't be relied on much. Others on a project will have to step up and pull more than their own weight to deliver it on time. And the person coasting will enjoy little to no professional growth while their current skill set grows rusty. If you find yourself coasting for longer than a little while, and the reason is low motivation, ask yourself what needs to change, and then be proactive in making changes. Why are you unmotivated? Are you in the right environment, the right team, or the right company? Do you have the right skills to get the work done? And if not, can you invest in improving your capabilities? Can you set yourself more challenging goals and take on more ambitious work? If nothing changes, your motivation may keep dropping until your manager has to have a hard conversation about your place on the team or the company. Get ahead of this by catching yourself when coasting for too long, and look for ways to stretch yourself again. Mix up stretching, executing, and the occasional period of coasting to optimize for long-term professional growth and avoid burnout. A bit like professional athletes change their pace of work for long-term performance and to avoid injuries.